Yeah. What an amazing, amazing story. I don't know about you, but it's stories like that story that make me so excited to be a part of Westside Family Church. We're a community who is committed to living out unshakable faith and unshakable love. So I want to just go ahead and say thank you to everyone at Lenexa Speedway and online for helping us provide a way to wrap God's family around families who have kids with special needs. I say thank you because it's personal for me. I have an uncle who has special needs, and I can just go ahead and tell you, he moved in with my family after my grandpa passed away, and my family could have benefited from a respite night. So thank you, Westside, for being a church who loves people super well. I actually have a picture of me and my Uncle Doug. So this is Doug. I call him my brother. By the way, do not let that smile fool you. He will take you down in Uno just like that if you will let him. And he's really smiling because I took him to Five Below. We got him a couple of toys, and then I just told him that we're going to his favorite ice cream shop, Brahms. Now, I can't get him to pay still. And even though I asked him so many times, I said, will you pay tonight? He said no, so I had to ask my dad to pay. So we're so thankful to be a part of church. I know I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that steps in and says, hey, we're not just going to say we're about a mission, we're going to be a mission. Another way that we express our unshakable commitment is through something called area communities. On April 7th, we are launching our next area community, the Clear Creek Area Community. So if you live in that area, we want to invite you to be a part of that and join us on April 7th in our East venue. All right, I got one more thing, and then we're going to jump into God's Word today. Today is Palm Sunday, which means that we're kicking off this thing in the church world called Holy Week. Holy Week is all about us centering our minds and our attentions and our affections on what Christ did for us. And so today we're celebrating Jesus's entry into Jerusalem. And then on Friday, we're going to celebrate his death by celebrating Good Friday. So if you would love to join us at our Good Friday service here at our Lenexa campus, you can see the times up on the screen. And then comes Saturday and Sunday, the best day, because we have a Savior who didn't stay in the grave, who is still dead. We have a Savior that came back to life. And so we are super excited about celebrating his resurrection on Resurrection Weekend. And again, you can find all our services up on the screen on Saturday and Sunday. You can come to one, you can come to two, you can come to all of them if you would like to, if you want to be extra spiritual like Jesus was. But my favorite thing about what's coming up this week is what's going to happen in those resurrection services. We're going to see a lot of people take their next step and be baptized. And so if you're waiting, like, man, I need to get baptized, go on Saturday and Sunday and join us in being baptized. You can sign up for baptism by going to westsidefamily.church/baptism and sign up, and we will get you in the waters, and I'm going to celebrate you. They may even let us bring the cowbell in here. I know. Okay, listen, we just took a vote, by the way. We all are pro cowbell. Give us more cowbell in this place. Wouldn't that be super exciting? Well, we are in week 7 of a series entitled Jesus Messiah. And what I want to talk to us about today is how Jesus responded when he got hurt. So before we jump in, let's just take a moment and let's pray. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. What we have not, give us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. My dad taught me a lot of things in life. One of the things that my dad taught me was anything worth doing in life is hard. For example, winning back-to-back Super Bowls, it's hard. Having a great marriage is extremely hard. Parenting, well, that's pretty easy, right? I know by your laughs that it's not easy. Parenting is hard. Growing up as a teenager in the culture in which we're in right now is extremely hard. Living a life of integrity is hard. One of the hardest things I think for us as human beings to do is to not respond with more hurt when we are hurt. It's hard for us to do that because It doesn't come natural to us. However, there's some of us, we call ourselves followers of Jesus, and because we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we realize that Jesus, he raises the standard on how we are supposed to act and react to people when they hurt us. Still, I think if we were really honest today, there are a lot of us that would simply say, man, I still find it hard to not respond with more hurt. The problem with that is this. When we respond in what is normal, what ends up happening is that the enemy, he takes this seed called the seed of offense, and he sows it into the soil of our hearts. And at first, everything's okay. At first, it doesn't really matter too much because it's not growing. But the more and more that we allow these seeds to take root into our lives, what ends up happening is that it grows and it grows until it produces something in us. Now, I need to admit something to you. I thought this plant was fake. I was supposed to put it in my window so it could get sun, but I didn't because I thought it was fake. It's actually a real plant. I learned that this morning. I know, right? No sun, no water, it's gonna die, right? But I think it paints this perfect picture for us of what happens when the seed of offense grows in us. It looks really pretty. It smells really pretty. It looks really nice. And at first it really is because like, hey, when I get even with someone, man, it feels really good. When I kind of get out and just kind of retreat, like it feels really good. But what ends up happening is as it grows, we start seeing that it begins to produce death within us. Begins to die, gives us a fake narrative on how we live. And what happens as a result is that the more and more this grows in our life, the more and more that it dies within us, what ends up happening is that we end up being offended by everything, being hurt by everything. So here's the question I want to really wrestle with this morning. Is it possible for us to respond in a different way when we are hurt? Well, let's find out together. And so I want to invite you to stand with me right now as we listen to the public reading of Scripture.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him.
Hail, King of the Jews!
Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet.
They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.
Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads.
"You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself.
If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said,
"He saved others. Himself he cannot save."
"If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him."
"He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing.
You may be seated. C.S. Lewis once said that friendship is born at the moment when someone says, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. Friendship starts when someone says to someone, what, you like that painting too? You like that artist too? You had that same experience with your parents too? In the same way, Matthew reminds us that we have a Messiah who sees the depths of our hurt and sees how we are hurt, and he says to us, what? You too? You've been rejected by people too? You've had people say mean things about you and to you too? You have been cut deeply by the actions of other people too? We have a friend in Jesus that understands our hurt because he has been hurt. We have a friend in Jesus who understands how hard it is when we are hurt to not respond in hurt because he was hurt deeply. We have a friend in Jesus who shows us that, yes, it is possible to respond in a different way. So how did Jesus respond? Jesus didn't retreat. In Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 28, Matthew tells us that they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. If there was a moment that if I were Jesus that I would hit the retreat button, it's in this moment right here. But what we see Jesus not doing is we do not see Jesus hitting the retreat button. Instead, we see Jesus kind of standing there and just taking this brutal abuse. However, I want you to know that even though Jesus didn't retreat in this moment, there are times throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus actually did retreat. And I think that's so important for us to understand today, because there are some of us, our natural tendency is to feel like we're being hurt and then to feel like I need to retreat. And if that's you, I want to just tell you something real quick. There's nothing wrong with you. I want you to know that God gave you that emotion and feeling as a gift to you. So if you find yourself in a situation where like, man, I feel unsafe, that is the moment, that is the signal to you that, hey, it may be time for me to step up and step out and get some help. And here's the reason why we need to ask for help in those moments. Because there are times when we feel unsafe, but we actually are safe. And in those moments, the temptation for us is to allow our feelings to lead us. So asking for help, asking people to help us out in those moments can help us understand that, hey, actually, you're safe. So you don't have to retreat. But then there are moments when we feel unsafe because we actually are unsafe. And so stepping out and asking for help and getting help is so important, because sometimes the retreat only needs to be for a moment. And you need to seek out help and seek out someone else to be able to tell you, hey, I'm gonna equip you and I'm gonna empower you to be able to go back into that situation so that it does not continue to happen. But then there's times when the retreat is more permanent and you don't need to go back and you don't need to go back to that situation. So we need to ask for help. We need to reach out. This is why being in an A2 community is extremely important because we can surround ourselves with people that can actually help us, that can walk alongside of us. This is why getting into a care group matters, because there's people that are a part of this church that are probably experiencing the same things that you are experiencing, and they can help you and equip you to know the difference. This is why I'm pro-counseling. We have an amazing counseling team here. There's amazing counselors all over the Kansas City area that we can go to that can help us out in these moments when we feel unsafe. So we need, in those moments when I feel unsafe, to reach out and get help. Why? Because we are not like Jesus. Jesus knew the difference. He knew when he needed to retreat, and he knew when he didn't need to retreat. But in this moment, Jesus made the choice to not retreat. And Jesus didn't retaliate. Again, Matthew tells us in verse 39, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Now, let's just kind of get our imaginations into the scene for a second. Jesus, he comes into Jerusalem, and as he comes into Jerusalem, what are they doing? They are agreeing with the fact that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, the one to come to save us from our sins. They're laying down branches, and they're worshiping Jesus. They are confirming his identity, and they're confirming his purpose. But what we see here in this moment is that they're doing the opposite. There's another crowd that shows up. And this time, as they walk by Jesus, who's hanging on the cross, they are mocking him. They are belittling him. They are tearing down with their words his identity and his purpose. And if I was Jesus in this moment, bro, I'm coming down the cross and we're gonna fight. Right? Like, because that's how I naturally respond. But Jesus doesn't get off the cross and throw up his dukes. Jesus stretches out his arms and he dies for us. Can I just tell you this today, just to be fully transparent? I wish I was more like Jesus. Because there's so many moments in my life where someone said something to me or they did something to me, and my natural reaction was to try to get even, to retaliate. In fact, I could tell you story after story of times when I blew it, times when I said things I shouldn't have said, and if I told you story after story, they'll be like, "Dude, they let you up on that stage?" But I'm just being real today. My natural tendency is to fight. And so I wish that I was more like Jesus. And here's the thing, because of Jesus, because of getting help, I'm able to say this today, like, hey, I've come a long way, but I'm still a work in progress. And here's what I know. I know that there's some of you here today, you're just like me. So you lash out at your ex or your best friend because they hurt you with their words, because you want to make sure that they experience the exact same thing that you experienced. You hope that the person who cut you off in traffic gets pulled over by the police and experiences instant karma. You feel like, oh, I've got to jump into every battle that I'm invited into on social media because I need people to know that I have the upper hand. So if you're like me, my encouragement for you would be lean into who Jesus is. Because what we see Jesus not doing is retaliating to those who were hurting him. Jesus didn't retaliate. Instead, Jesus refused to give up. Jesus at any moment could have said, okay, time out, I'm done, thrown in the towel, the mission's off. Instead, Peter tells us that Jesus entrusted himself to the one who justly judges, which isn't me, which isn't you, that's actually God. So he trusted in the mission that God sent him. He trusted in his heavenly Father's plan for humanity over his plan. Jesus could have quit at any moment. Jesus could have given up. He could have called the mission off, but he did not call the mission off. He saw the mission to completion. And because Jesus didn't give up, we can know that even if every single person in our lives gives up on us, that he will not give up on us. We can know because Jesus didn't run off the cross and call off the mission, that even if every single person in this world runs out on us and forsakes us, that he never will run out on us. The cross is proof that Jesus will never give up, Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus will continue to pursue us no matter how much we stop pursuing him. He will pursue us. The cross is proof that there's no mountain that he won't climb up, that there's no shadow he won't light up coming after us. The cross is proof that there's no wall that he won't tear down, no lie that he won't push down coming after us. Jesus continues to chase after us, continues to pursue us. He does not give up on us. So when our adult children want nothing to do with us or nothing to do with the God that we serve, we don't give up on them. And we say, we're going to continue to pray for you. We're going to continue to show you that we love you. When our best friend automatically just shows up one day and just decides, hey, I don't want anything to do with you, and then they start ghosting you, you respond to what Jesus did. And you say, hey, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to be right here waiting on you. When our spouse unexpectedly leaves, we say, I'm going to give up my right, and I'm not going to do what the world tells me to do. I'm not going to put you down in front of our kids. Why? Because Jesus didn't give up on us. Instead, Jesus responded with love. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, Peter tells us, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus could have retaliated. He could have retreated. But instead, Jesus chose to give up his life willingly on the cross and show us what love actually looks like. Love isn't something that we say. Love is a savior that displayed us, his love for us on the cross. And because Jesus chose to love, he flipped the paradigm upside down. The paradigm which says, hurt people, but Jesus says, hold on a second, hurt people, love people. And because Jesus decided to say, I'm going to love you even when you hurt me, even when you abandon me, even when you spit in my face, I'm going to show you love and I'm going to die for you. Because Jesus did that, he made healing possible. And when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we experience this healing from the sin which has taken over our entire lives completely. Jesus made healing possible. But here's the truth today. Some of us have not experienced the healing that Jesus provides for us. If that's you and you're at our Lenexa campus or our Speedway campus or you're watching online, I want you to know that I'm so glad that you're with us. I know showing up to a place like this can be scary. I know that maybe you came here and you feel like, man, I've done too much and there's no way that God could love me. There's no way that this Jesus guy could love me. I know that you may be feeling right now in this moment that you've done too much. I know that you may feel like, man, I got to clean my life out up in order to come to Jesus. The beauty of his love for us is that he invites us to come to him as we are. But the power of his healing love is that he does not leave us the way that we came to him. You don't have to clean up your life. You just have to come to Jesus today. You don't have to wait until the end of the service to give your life to Jesus. He's already here and he's already working in your heart. And simply, you just need to respond to his love by saying, God, here's my life. And you will experience the love of a Savior who recklessly loves you and chases after you and pursues you. Still, I know that there's a lot of us here. We've experienced that healing power. We've experienced what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. But man, we walked in with a lot of hurt. And I'm not trying to make excuses for what happened to you, and nor do I think that maybe it's okay that what happened to you happened to you. But maybe, just maybe, God's inviting you to do what Jesus did for you. And maybe, just maybe, God's calling you to flip the paradigm upside down and stop living in a way that says hurt people, and start living in a way that declares hurt people, love people. Because when we love people, we do what Jesus did, and we make healing possible. How do we find healing? We have to do what Jesus did. And we need to echo this to our Father and to maybe even to them, but mainly to us. Father, forgive them. That is extremely difficult to do, right? Forgiveness is hard because forgiveness is costly. Forgiveness costs us giving up our right to get even. Forgiveness cost us because it is all about us giving up our right to not run out in the moment. Forgiveness makes healing possible, but forgiveness is extremely hard because forgiveness is costly. But I just believe that living with unforgiveness is even more costly. And I know this because I was sitting in the back of the room. And my dad, who's in ministry, was standing on a stage like this. And I watched people that my dad had served and loved and cared for, one by one, stand up and say things that I never thought I would hear in a church. And at first, it really wasn't personal. At first, it really didn't hurt that bad. But then my small group leader stood up. And I thought that he was going to end the madness. But he didn't. He added to it. So that night we went home and we had a family meeting. And we were talking, and I was upset at my dad because I thought, man, it must take a really weak man to stand up on a stage and not say anything back or to not retreat. My dad wasn't weak. My dad was meek. And so we were trying to figure out what we're gonna do, and then I finally just spoke up in anger, and I told my dad, here's what I'm gonna do. My small group leader, I'm gonna see him on Sunday because I've gotta go to church. And I'm gonna give him two things. I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind, and I'm gonna give him two fists. And my dad stopped me. He said, son, you are not going to do that. And so I looked at my father and I said, then what are we gonna do? Because you didn't do anything tonight. And my dad said, We're going to love them, and we're going to serve them. It still hurts. Even though there's forgiveness that happened, it doesn't mean that it doesn't still hurt. But I watched my father show up in hospital rooms and love and serve people that didn't deserve to be loved or served. I watched my dad week in and week out stand up in front of people who stood up and said horrible things to him. So recently I called my dad because I had to ask his permission to tell, it's really his story, it's not my story, I'm just a part of his story. And he gave me permission, and then I just asked him, Dad, how in the world did you do that? Because now I'm a little bit older and I'm realizing how strong my dad was. And he told me this story about a time when he was in high school and he first just came into a relationship with Jesus and how he used to get made fun of on the bus. People would be like, oh, Steve found Jesus, so we can't cuss on the bus. And it hurt him. And so he went to his youth pastor, who happens to be my uncle. And my uncle, Robbie, he challenged my father to do two things. He said, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to learn how to smile on the inside. Because they can say a lot of things and they can do a lot of things to you, but what they can't do is they can't steal your joy. And the second thing that he told him that day was, you gotta make the choice to outlove them, because it's not about winning one battle. I know what they said to you wasn't right, and they should have never said that to you. I know how they treated you wasn't right. I know that forgiveness is difficult and hard. But anything worth doing in life is hard. So why don't we just be a people who do hard things? Why don't we be the type of people that said, we're not going to give back into the cultural norm. We're not going to continue to show up and say, hurt people. But we would be transformed people that show up in people's lives and say, listen, I've been hurt, but I'm choosing to love. And we can flip it upside down, and we can be a people who say, hurt people, love people. Because when we do, the Holy Spirit sees that in our hearts, and he begins to uproot the seed of offense in our lives. And we start walking around looking like this. I think I told you that, man, this is dead, but look, this is a representation of hurt people, love people. This actually can be a beautiful thing. This actually can be something that we can show up and we can do what Jesus did for us. And when we show up like this, here's what ends up happening. We can smile on the inside, because people can say a lot of things to us and they can do a lot of things to us, but what they cannot do is they cannot take away our joy. We can make the difficult choice to outlove people, because it's not about winning one battle, but ultimately we can step in and we can provide an opportunity for healing to happen, mainly in us and hopefully for them. So let's be people this week who step into situations that are hard and do the hard thing, and let's live as people who have been hurt but choose to say, hurt people, love people. Would you pray with me? Father, I know how hard it is to respond in love when we've been hurt, God, I know that there's story after story in this room right now represented. God, I don't know the fullness of the hurt that they're experiencing. But what I do know, Father, is this, is that when we choose to do what you call us to do, we can make a difference. So Father, even in my own life, I pray, God, that you would help me. Holy Spirit, help me to live in a way that says, hurt people, love people. Father, I pray for the ones that gave their lives to you today. Father, I pray, God, that they would understand that love and they would experience that radical, reckless love right now in their hearts. God, that they're freely forgiven. By your wounds, they have been healed. So thank you for being a Savior who paved the way for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and sing with us this morning.